Shog, who always turns his lights on when he drives, joins us now. Shogger, how are you doing?
Doing well today, my friend. How are you?
I am quite well, quite well. The Oilers last night, Cam Talbot did not like his performance, manned up right about it, said, you know what, I thought I was a little too active, and outlined it very in-depth on the first and the third goals. And, you know, when it was 3-1, I know you were there when we were talking to Patrick Maroon. Like, he's like, man, I shouldn't have just one time that I should have waited and got a better shot off. So, you know, like, you kind of hear no excuses, just players a little bit upset, because that was a game that, you know, it wasn't like San Jose played out of this world. Had the Oilers played where they're capable of, they might have had a better result.
Well, in the start, right? I mean, you can't come out flat against a team like the San Jose Sharks, because even on a night where San Jose maybe, quote, doesn't have it, the game they're going to bring is still going to be good enough to beat average teams. Even their off night, they're good enough to beat average teams. And so last night, they roll into town, and they were better than the Oilers early, but they certainly weren't running at a full speed clip either. So the Oilers come into it, and they back their way into the game against the team. They got no business doing that. San Jose ends up in a lead. The Oilers are chasing the game a little bit. It was really clear early on that Talbot didn't have his A game and wasn't as comfortable in there as we've seen him on a lot of nights. So just a kind of a combination of a bad start, Talbot not having it, and the unfortunate part is when the Oilers turned it on, they were dominating. And so they come back early in that third period, and it looks like everything's sliding their way. And then an unfortunate mistake by Benning and a tough goal that kind of put things a little bit more out of reach. But the Oilers, they had the game last night once they got it going to beat San Jose. They just waited way too long and then couldn't respond from a bad break.
Brandon Davidson will draw back into the lineup tomorrow. Looks like he'll be paired with Adam Larson, Klepbaum and Benning, and Secker Russell reunited. Again, Davidson, I could tell just talking to him today, obviously very frustrated with how his season has gone, only in 9 games, got injured in game 1, now he's coming off an illness. Fired up, but the fact that he's playing with Adam Larson is they're going to put him into a pretty defensive situation right away to take on some top guys, because that's really what Larson's been doing.
Yeah, well, they're really, if that's the way they go, they're really throwing him in there for a guy that has not played many minutes this season, for a player who's probably going to have to, I mean, not necessarily feel his way in, but just isn't going to be 100% his first few shifts. Yeah, that's a bit of a tall order. Larson has been playing some pretty good minutes. We know he gets tough matchups. Now I think Larson's been really good, so it'll be a good, solid player to put him with that can stabilize things a little bit for him. I like the potential that they have as a pairing. I think Larson has a nice element of physicality to his game. Davidson plays hard as well. It could be a real good shutdown pairing if Davidson gets up and running at full speed. But yeah, it's definitely throwing him in a little bit, isn't it? Putting him next to Larson, who's a minute muncher and plays against tough competition.
And basically plays kind of, you know, the same minutes all the time. Doesn't always play the tough competition, but definitely, you know, plays a harder game and will face more often than not top 6 forwards rather than bottom 6 forwards at even strength. The Oilers take on the Devils. We had Carl Stallery on the show earlier, a guy from Armenia just outside of Camrose, making his Devils debut tomorrow, 29 years of age. Kind of been slugging out. Good story. The Devils just, you know, this is a team, the Oilers, like, they're only 9-8-2, Ryan, at home. Like, they've lost more home games technically than they've won this season. It's just not good enough. They got to get better.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. The home record we've been pounding on for a while now, and they know they need to be better. I don't know that they have any more answers than we do. But when a team like New Jersey rolls into town, and this is a team at the lower end of the standings, the Oilers have gotten by them recently. There'll be some emotion in the building, I'm sure, with Taylor Hall back. But this is one of those games where you got to take advantage. You have to take advantage, and you got to pull 2 points out of there one way or another. It's a team that's lower in the standings coming into your barn. They had a tough travel go of it the other day. Now they were able to rest today. They had a good solid practice, but good teams grab these points. You don't let a team from the Eastern Conference walk into your building and steal 2 points when they're a team that is struggling to win games. So we'll see what the Oilers have. I mean, I I think Talbot has a real good chance of bouncing back strong. It's rare that he puts back-to-back bad games together. And I'm going to be interested to see if the Oilers show up on time. I mean, there's no excuse not to show up on time for this game. There'll be enough going on, and it'll be inexcusable if they don't.
Yeah, definitely inexcusable for sure.
Players too, right?
Yeah.
Like, to me, the start, never mind the coach. The coach has nothing to do with the start. It's
100%.
It's on the players. I mean, 100%.
Yeah, no, 100%, I'm with you, man, 100%. I don't, you know, coaches prepare players to say, okay, we know what their breakout's going to be, know what their tendencies on the power play are, all those sorts of things. But the coach can't suddenly have some magical speech to make sure all the players are ready and have jump in their game to start. That's 100% on the players.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go a little bit on instinct as a head coach and go, okay, well, this is the line I'm going to start because they have a good chance of giving them a good shift in the early. I mean, there's a few decisions the coach can make. And, you know, I think McDavid was, maybe third shift over the boards last night for them. And I don't know, maybe you want to start Connor. Maybe you want to put him out there against whoever and just have him on the ice for the start of games. Because he and Draisaitl are so good together right now that they give you the best chance of grabbing some early momentum. I mean, maybe Todd can control those sorts of things. But whoever he decides to put out there, it's totally on them to hammer on the gas right away and not be backing into games. And that's entirely on the players and the leadership group.
Ryan, Jujhar, Kara up, Anton Lander down, and finally official Gustafsson down, Lauren Brossoit up. Let's start with the Jujhar, Kara, Lander. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, Lander, I don't know, he's just, he doesn't skate well enough, and I've never liked his 5-on-5 game at the NHL level. He can win some face-offs, but Letestu is winning draws, and, you know, Draisaitl's been decent. And so Lander is a little bit of a spare part, and I like Kara because he brings an element that Lander can't, which is when Jujhar wants to, he can be a physical player. He's a big, fast-skating guy that can run people over when he wants to. So I think he has the chance to play with a little bit different level of confidence on this team than maybe even last year. Like, for a big guy like that who, you know, he's shown he's not afraid to drop the gloves if he has to. But when he came up and looked really good, it's because he was playing really physical and he was getting some chances. The physicality just completely dropped out of his game. He stopped hitting and his effectiveness was gone. I think on this team with Cassian, with Maroon, you know, with Lucic there, with Greiber around, I think it's easier for more guys to feel confident and play physical that way. I think that this team is suited for him to be able to do that nicely. So if he can continue to play physically and be consistent with his physical play, which Pitlick did, he's got a chance to earn himself a spot in the lineup more regularly because he has the ability to do that. So he's got some offensive confidence. I think he needs to run around and hit as much as he possibly can and get himself physically into it. And he's a guy that we've been waiting for because he's got the skill set. He's a big, rangy guy, and he's definitely got some NHL-caliber skill.
Yeah, and I do wonder a little bit, you know, I guess the other underlying benefit is now Jesse Puljujärvi gets a legit dominant offensive AHL centerman in Anton Lander.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Anton, the one thing you can't take away from him is his production level in the American Hockey League. No question about that. When he goes down there, the guy can play and the guy can produce. For whatever level, it's never been able to translate at the NHL, or for whatever reason, at the NHL level. So Puljujärvi gets a veteran guy next to him, knows the league, knows how to produce there, will have some offensive confidence in that situation, and I think it makes sense for them to have done this on a number of different levels. That's definitely an added benefit, is that Puljujärvi has a familiar face next to him that he can feel comfortable playing with.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Rashog Report brought to you by Auto City Edmonton. Matt Benning, Oscar Klefbom, some new pairings. They'll be together with Davidson, Larson, and then Sekera and Russell. What do you think of the Benning-Klefbom pairing?
I'm... Of all of them, I'm maybe most tentative about that. Like, Benning has been really good. He's played above his head, and he surprised people, and he's been really good. Klefbom, has been putting up some points, which is good. He's been scoring some goals. But I don't know that Klefbom necessarily is a stabilizing force right now. I think he's still working through some stuff in his game. So, I mean, they might be fine, and Benning has been good enough, and he's confident enough out there. It was a tough mistake he made last game, but otherwise played a really good game. So it'll be interesting to see how the two of them function together. They're both, like, Benning is still making his way, and Klefbom is still prone to making some kind of funny plays. So it'll be interesting to see how usable and reliable those two are together. It's the right team to do it against, though. I mean, it's not like Jersey's going to be throwing a whole pile at them. So it's the right team to maybe experiment a little bit against.
What are your expectations from Brassois?
Well, I think he's going to get some practice time, and I think he's going to it'll be interesting to me to see if Todd decides to give him a bit of what we would consider an unexpected start. We've kind of gotten used to the pace that Talbot has been playing all of these games at. And so we just assume that the backup goalie isn't playing until there's a back-to-back or some crazy stretch of games that's just not sustainable for Talbot. So I would suggest, under normal circumstances, Brassois wouldn't play a game until the 20th or the 21st, their next back-to-back scenario. But maybe they throw him a start. Maybe. And that would be an indication to me that they're concerned with Talbot's workload and that they are legitimately wanting to give Brassois a look. Maybe they give him that game on the 16th against Arizona. Maybe that's the one that they go to him and give him that one. Or the 18th, I guess, perhaps against Florida. But if you go one of the games, if you give him the 16th and then you give him the second half of the back-to-back or the first half of the back-to-back, you're now getting Cam some meaningful rest. Now, they don't play after the 21st until the 25th again, obviously, so there's a little bit of a break for them. But we're going to learn a little bit about how Todd feels about the amount Talbot has been playing and whether or not he's worried about him. If Brassois doesn't play until the back-to-back, we'll know Todd's fine with rolling Cam the way he's been rolling him. If he gets an earlier start, it tells us that he's wanted to back off Cam's workload.
Yeah, I'm going to guess he wants this team to get going. And when you look at the Oilers' schedule before the back-to-back, it's every second day. But then they play, and you mentioned they got 3 days off. Then they play back-to-back. Then they get 4 days off again. Right? So you could have Talbot play one game between the 20th and the 31st.
So if you play him on the 20th,
he doesn't play the 21st, give him the night off. Then he gets 3 days off. Then he plays one of the back-to-backs. Then he gets all off until the 31st against the Wild.
Well, the other thing you could do is you could, you've got Anaheim, San Jose back-to-back.
Yeah, you could technically play him in both if you wanted.
That's what I was going to say. The travel between those two cities is not that difficult. You could potentially play him in both of those games. So maybe you give him the Arizona game, and then maybe you give him – I mean, I don't think they're going to play him two out of three. I don't know. Maybe they wait until Nashville then. It's tough. It's tough to know. Like, if Todd's worried about how much Cam has had to play, we'll see Brassois get in sooner rather than later. There's the obvious spots coming up in the back-to-backs, but if he grabs one of those starts on the 16th or the 18th, that'll be a tell that – Todd really feels like he needs to back off of Cam a little bit.
Schauger, it's going to be interesting. The Oilers definitely have to play better. Were you there for the Devils practice?
I was, yeah. I saw them skate today. We all talked to Taylor a little bit afterwards. It'll be and he, you know, he handled it fine. He was said a lot of things that he'd said on your show the other day, and you know, it's a good point though that there's not a lot of emotion in it for him yet because he really doesn't have much attachment to that building. He had to walk into Rexall, I think it would have maybe hit him a little different today.
Yeah, that's what he told me too.
I think it'll hit him tomorrow night. I mean, I'm sure they'll do a video tribute for him. I'm sure the fans will give him a really nice ovation and maybe boo the heck out of him the rest of the night. Who knows? But I think Taylor will wear it on his sleeve a little bit tomorrow night. And I hope, you know, whether fans want to boo him when he touches the puck or not, I mean, whatever, they're going to do what they're going to do. But my expectation is that when the time comes, they'll give him a real nice ovation, and he deserves it.
Yeah, I think they'll give him an ovation. I don't know if they'll boo him every time he touches the puck. That's kind of reserved more for Pronger and guys like that. But
yeah, just a few of those guys.
Hall
right?
didn't want to get traded. I think that was apparent to everybody when it happened. But I will say at times it's, you know what, the sign of respect, the fans cheer for him and say, hey, thank you very much when he's introduced. I'm guessing he'll be in the starting lineup. Usually that's what coaches do. And then after that, the game's on, and now they're fans of the Oilers. And most players understand that. And, you know, they won't necessarily boo him every time he touches the puck, but they might give him, you know, one little razzing.
Sure.
And that's almost like a sign of respect.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think Taylor understands that. He saw enough players come and go through his time that I think he kind of understands the way fans here are. But, yeah, you know what? He was honest and he was open through this trade about his emotions. He didn't just say all the right things all the time. He was honest with the way he felt, and I think fans in the city can probably respect and appreciate that. He was disappointed. He wanted to be part of all of this. He never wanted to be traded. But he's got bigger fish to fry now. I mean, that Jersey team, they got a long way to go. He is relied on so heavily in that organization, more than he was here in Edmonton. I mean, he's got less around him there. And I think he one goal in his last 14 games or something like that? He needs to get going, and he knows it. So he's got some pressure on him as a member of the Devils to try and get his season turned around a little bit and get things going, and I think that'll be foremost on his mind.
Well, should be an interesting one. Oilers definitely need a better start tomorrow. Shogar, have a good one. We'll talk to you then.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Ryan.